All right, we are back with you here in Las Vegas at Summer League. All guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Just to let the listeners know, Michael Yogi Stewart with our Kings throwback at 2:30. Right now, though, it is a pleasure to welcome to the show Mike Dunleavy, who is the head coach at Tulane. We're going to talk to him a little bit about the college game and what's going on with the way the NBA game is played now. And, Mike, it's Grant Napier, Doug Christie. Thanks for coming on. How are you today?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. You know, Mike, you've done so much in your basketball career, player, head coach in the NBA, front office executive. Now, you know, 2 years, entering 3 years at Tulane. Why college? Why was this such a good fit for you at this juncture of your life?
Because, I love the teaching part of the game, and it was something that, that I've wanted to do for a while, and it just seemed like the right timing on it. I went through a process where I had a lawsuit with Donald Sterling and missed 2 years, doing legal battle. And then I was with a group, Raj Batel, one of your owners with the, Sacramento Kings, we had a deal in New Orleans with the Pelicans, and then it fell through on the last day. And I tried for a couple of really good jobs, didn't get the really good jobs. And then I started looking at it, and I said, at my age, if I take a bad job and it's a 4 or 5 year deal, I'm in no man's land with my age. And I think I like to coach a lot longer. So I look for the opportunity for the right spot so that, I can do what I'm doing for the next 10 or 15 years. And I'm loving the college game and the teaching part of it. And the first 2 years have been right on time. And one of our players this year got drafted. He left school early, which, again, part of what we're talking about doing. And style of play, pace of play, and player development. One of your players you have in summer league right now, Cam Reynolds, was our most improved player in our league 2 years ago. And Melvin Frazier, who was drafted by the Orlando Magic this year, picked at number 35, was the most improved player in the league last year. So we're doing what we're talking about doing, improving players and getting them ready for the NBA.
You know, Coach, you talk about Cam Reynolds. For some of the Sacramento Kings fans that are listening, kind of break his game down. We got to, you and I and Coach Elston Turner got to watch him a little bit the other night, and he's impressive.
Yeah, Cam is a real solid player. Really knows how to play the game. 6'7" forward, can shoot the pro three. The part of his game that I think people are going to ultimately find out and work on is he's got a great post-up game for a guy his size. He can post guys bigger than he is. And basically, I used him as a stretch four. And when I came in and talked about his game and said, look, but if I'm playing you, I'm going to switch every pick and roll. I'm not going to let you pop and shoot. So, as soon as a team does that, we want to take that guy down to the torture chamber. So you got to have a major post game. And he worked on his game and showed that he had it. So, he went from 6 points a game to 17 points a game in his first season.
Wow.
Under me. And, has continued to be that type of player. Defensive end of the floor, he really knows what he's doing. He does a good job of talking at the defensive end. And so he's got a real, real solid game that really is a good fit for everybody. And I think the Sacramento Kings, there was a couple of teams that were really hot on him that really wanted him. And, they were the ones that got him.
Mike, the game is played so differently now. And I'm just curious, for someone that's been involved in professional basketball for as long as you have, what's your take on the way the game is played now in 2018?
Yeah, I mean, the game is played the most efficient way possible right now. It's a lot about math, threes versus twos, which fits right into, me and my game. Back in, I think it was like 81, 82, the Sport Magazine article written, I negotiated my own contract, and I was a pretty good shooter at the NBA. I think my career is like 47 or 48% from the field, and I was asking for whatever money I was asking for, and they said, we can't pay you that. I said, what would I have to shoot for you to pay me that? And he said, you'd have to shoot like 52 or 53% from the field. I said, really, that's what I did, because if you add in my three-pointers made, divided by two, and add the field goals made, that's my shooting percentage. So the sport magazine said, dubbed it true shooting percentage, and I got paid what I was supposed to get paid. So, I've been a big proponent of this for, a long time, and basically right now it's about space and pace. Keep the ball attacking the rim, and everything's about points per possession right now. If you looked at all the numbers, threes versus two, obviously you shoot 33% from the three-point line equals 50%, which is the gold standard for many years, from the field. And know, everybody's got statistics on all the players. I mean, average three-point shot, you know, from a corner, NBA corner, averages out to about 1.39 points per possession. Mm-hmm. You know, for people to understand, I mean, the best way to score on a points-per-possession basis is get to the free throw line. 70% shooters, 1.4 points per possession. 80% is 1.6. You know, 90% is 1.8. So that efficiency is what all the teams are out there looking for right now. They're looking for players that can do those things. Can you get to the free throw line? Can you score at a high efficiency from the field? Can you shoot the three?
Coach, you're the original analytics man. That's what I hear in your voice. When you look at player development, I know you're talking about Cam Reynolds and some of the players that are coming out of Tulane now where you coach. Do you take – is that in high demand for you, player development? And if so, how do you manage that around? I know the limited time that they allow you in your practices. Do you focus a lot on player development and trying to teach them how to play?
Well, we do, and there's certain things that, you know, basically what – you know, what we have to do right now is we've got to get higher grade, you know, graduate assistants, the guys, you know, guys that can work with players. But really, you know, we go through our model of teaching, and these guys just take them out on the court and have them do the things that we talk about doing and monitor, you know, how many of these can you make out of 100. And everything that, you know, that we talk about doing right now has to do with developing a three-point shot, but also about developing a part of your game that can finish over size. I mean, if you're just in the summer league right now, the guys that are most impressive are the guys that can go, you know, be in attack mode, get to the rim, get fouled, and finish over bigs, or, you know, create space to get their own shot off. You know, some guys have great step-back jumpers, but sometimes, you know, like what we teach at Tulane is about attacking, collapsing a defense, and then creating open rhythm shots for three-point shooters. I mean, you see most kids practice, they're practicing, you know, kind of at their own little pace, and everybody's a great rhythm shooter, but that's not what it, you know, that's not what it's like in a game. In the game, it's a lot of, you know, full speed attack mode. You got to be able to play that game, and then if you're lucky enough for somebody to be able to, you know, attack and collapse the defense and set you up for a nice rhythm shot, you know, great shooters, you know, live with those guys. It's why you see a lot of guys jumping, who are great shooters, jumping around to the team where guys are going to get double teamed out there, or you have a point guard that breaks people down and collapse the defense. So those are things we focus on. You know, we tell kids, hey, if you're good enough to get to the next level, we're going to get you there. And then if you're not, we got a great education here at Tulane, and I got long-term money for you one way or the other. So play the NBA, like, and, yep, and if not, you know, I got you covered for the next 40 years.
Mike, I wanted to ask you, we live in an era now where there's this instant evaluation that goes on. And, you know, in summer league, gosh, a guy has a great game and he's going to be the next LeBron James. Conversely, you know, Trae Young's getting killed this week. And so, you know, I've always used the three-year rule. Hey, get back to me in 3 years, we can fully evaluate. But with that said, in your coaching days in the NBA, were there times where you got a player in that you had drafted and you're like, oh, my gosh, we made a big mistake, where you could make that determination like in the first week or two? And conversely, could you tell that quickly whether you had drafted a very special player?
Yeah, I mean, the answer is yes. And in my, I think it was 11 years as a general manager in the NBA, I picked six All-Stars. And six All-Stars plus Sean Livingston, who I thought would have been an All-Star if he didn't get injured with that horrific injury. And then Eric Gordon also, who was the sixth man of the year, pretty close to being an All-Star himself, and maybe still to come. It really depends on what you're drafting guys, you know, for. You know, certain guys have NBA, what we call NBA skills, and you're drafting them for that skill, and you think they can dominate at, you know, those doing those things. I mean, like, one of the first guys I drafted was Vin Baker. You know, Vin Baker came out of Hartford College, 6'11", real skinny guy. And
we had him on our show yesterday.
Oh, okay. So, yep. So Vin, you know, like, I was a big believer in his upside because of his skill level and, you know, at his size. He had once played guard and grew a lot, and so he had great ball handling skills and great length. And so I drafted him on that, and I knew the potential that was something we were going to have to develop. So I think I picked him number 8 in the draft, and when he came in, like, I didn't start him, and I didn't really play him that much for the first part of the year. Matter of fact, like, I think when it came to the All-Star game, he didn't even make the rookie All-Star game. Everybody's like, oh, the guy's a bust. And, you know, and my point of view was, like, I'm not playing somebody till they're ready. Like, we're teaching him the right way to play and how to play. when I did play him, and then ultimately I started him, he, between the time he played, probably from January on, he made the all-rookie team, first-team all-rookie, and went on to be, you know, a three-time all-star for me, averaged 20 and 10. But it had to do with, you know, hey, I want to give – I teach by giving guys confidence. You know, I'm not going to throw them in the mix and have them fail and question their, you know, how good they are. You know, we talk about having a process, and here are the things you're going to have to develop and do in order to get ready and get you comfortable. And sometimes it takes guys a little bit longer than you think, but the main thing is teaching them how to do it the right way. I mean, another different guy you draft, I drafted Ray Allen. Well, you know, we drafted him because he's a great shooter. Well, you know, he didn't disappoint right away. He could come in and fill it up, you know. You know, another guy drafted, you know, we took the Clippers, Chris Kaman, DeAndre Jordan, and Blake Griffin, and then I think also Glenn Robinson with the Bucks. All draftees are different ways, you know. You know, DeAndre, we got him at like 35, and we're sitting there like, you know, we got this huge steal. We, you know, we feel we had a mark on the board as should be off at 15. And, you know, for different reasons, guys will slip. But, you know, with his body and everything we had, you know, we talked to him in terms of long-term project. You know, hey, be a rebounder and shot blocker, and you're going to get paid. And then we'll work on the rest of your offensive game. And, you know, and that's what he's done. I mean, he's going to be, you know, first-team All-NBA.
You know, Coach, I know you've been out here at the Summer League. When you were coaching, how did you view the Summer League? What did you use it for? And some of the players that were on your team, what was your instruction to them that, you know, you've been in the league for a year? What did you want to see out of them? Dominance, show you don't belong here? How did you view the Summer League and use it?
You know, it's all about, you know, creating your niche, but showing your team how you can help contribute to winning. And, you know, different guys will come in, and you have to, you talk to them in terms of, okay, look, what I need to see out of you in this training camp or this, you know, summer league is to show this portion of the game. Here's what you need to get better at, you know. And a lot of times for us, it was at the defensive end of the floor, starting out defense, rebound, and then also development of offensive skills. And, you know, if we're trying to get somebody to be, you know, a post player or a three-point shooter, you know, we're setting them up for those shots. We're trying to get them good looks there to get their confidence. And, you know, build their game. And that's, you know, got to figure out how, you know, first off, how do you, you know, help your own guys, get your own guys open, set picks. If you're a guard, set back picks for bigs in transition, get them to run to the rim for layups, and you step in for three-point shots. If you're a big, you know, flare guards every opportunity and slip to the basket if your guy looks to help. You know, just trying to figure out ways to get a couple of, you know, easy buckets, some loose chains along the way.
Hey, Mike, we really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you very much, and have a great summer.
My pleasure, guys. Good luck.
Hey, thank you, Mike Dunleavy. Boy, you know, we talk about the players he drafted. He's got a heck of a record.
Yeah, man, come on. Yeah, think about Ray Allen, man, DeAndre Jordan. How about the fact that, you know, he knew automatically that DeAndre Jordan is going to be a bit of a project. But what do I want you to do? I want you to rebound the basketball and block shots and run the floor. That is exactly what DeAndre Jordan turned into. And another guy who was solid as well and turned into an all-star. He didn't have a long, long career, but he turned into an all-star was Chris Kaman. And for the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, and who'd he say? Sean Livingston. Sean Livingston was
and Chris Kaman played at Central Michigan.
Yes, he did. Sean Livingston was about as solid as you can get coming out of high school.
Yeah, his injury was terrible.
It was. But how about the fact of him coming back, jumping around from team to team?
Hey, you know what? Absolutely. KHDK's coverage of Summer League brought to you by Jiffy Lube, with over 25 locations in the greater Sacramento area, offering AC service, oil changes, tune-ups, brakes, and much more. Jiffy Lube, they've got you covered. Yorgos Papayannis, we're watching on the TV screen in front of us, playing for Portland.
Yes, he is out there. I haven't seen what he did, but you were asking me about Grayson Allen. Man, every time I look up, Granny's dunking on somebody. Goodness gracious, man. He just went baseline and just piped it
on
somebody.
I'll tell you right now, he caught our eye when we watched him in person.
Yes,
you and I both walked out of there going, oh, boy, we love him.
You know what struck me about him, Grant, is he spent 4 years in college. And you could tell he worked on his body. He is a strong-looking kid. Then you pair that with the ability to play both positions, the point guard and the two guard. He's one of those invaluable pieces that you have to have on your team, and he's showing it right here at Summer League.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, he's one of the older players too.
Yes, but you can tell his time at college. I mean, he learned a lot about the game. His body has absolutely developed, and that's what for some of these guys now, you know, it's half of one, half of the other. You draft them young and you develop them, but you don't know what they're going to be. Or they stay in college and they come in a little bit more developed. He just happens to be one of the guys that worked out for, in my opinion.
All right, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, we are with you until 3, and then we're going to get ready to watch a little Summer League basketball with the Kings and the Memphis Grizzlies.
Should be a lot of
fun.
We'll
report back tomorrow from the driving range of Lake Tahoe at 3 o'clock, so we're looking forward to that.
You're not going to skip
out on
them.
Oh, by the way, Jed Lowry has been added to the American League All-Star roster.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Grant. Well,
he deserves it.
Yeah, well-deserved, so fantastic for Jed. You're not going to skip out on me in Tahoe, right? You're coming.
Skip out for what?
Oh, okay, just making sure.
Why would I skip out on that? It's my favorite week of the year.
Yeah, mine too, man. That was awesome last year. You told me, but you're not a good storyteller.
And I told you to go up Heavenly, up the right?
I didn't do that. I'm doing that this year.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
Yeah, well,
I showed you my pictures.
You showed me the pictures.
And you were
that
like, oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness, man. That is absolutely spectacular.
We got to get you snow skiing, get you up there in the wintertime.
I might get on one of those boards, body board or whatever you call it.
It's called a snowboard.
Snowboard, okay.
Body board is surfing.
You know what? Surfing, that's right. I did that one time. Okay. Almost broke my neck. I'm not really down with that.
I would not recommend a body board for snow skiing. That's all I'm saying. I would. That could be a little difficult on your body.
I might as well just
unless you're talking
use
about
an inner tube.
Unless you're talking about a toboggan or something like that.
Nah.
So.
Toboggan? What was the name of that cork board you used?
Oak tag.
Okay. Toboggan, oak tag. Come on, Napier. You're killing me over here, man.
You never bought a piece of oak tag?
Nah. I mean, I guess I did. I just didn't call it that. I called it freaking cork board.
That's what they called it, a Pepperdine.
No, they did not. Cork board, Grant.
No one calls it cork board.
Come on.
It's either oak tag or poster board. Cork board. What's wrong with you?
Did you? What did Star call it?
Star call what?
What Star call the board?
She calls it poster board.
Okay.
I call it oak tag.
Okay, I'm going with Star on that one. Yep. Poster board it is.
Yeah, me oak too, tag. Actually.
Smart man.
No, I don't mind disagreeing with my wife, but, you know, when you go to the store, it says on the label poster board.
Ah.
But when I was growing up, it used to say oak tag.
Who would even – come on, Grant.
Hey, I'm just telling you. You think I made this up?
It sounds a little fishy, but I don't know you to make stuff up like that. Oak tag. Get out of town. Poster board, Grant, I'm going with that. Matter of fact, some guys are getting posterized. That's what's happening down here at Summer League.
I know someone's getting posterized because Bam Adebayo is at the foul line converting a three-point play. He just literally ran over someone and scored. I'll tell you right now, he's going to be a heck of a player.
He is, Grant. You know what? And that is the definition of a kid coming out of Kentucky. I mean, you're not really sure what he can be. You see the body. You see the athleticism, the size and strength. But can he develop? And if he can develop, I mean, this is the perfect scenario that we were just talking about earlier is you can come to the Summer League and you can allow your players to step outside their comfort zone, show some different things that they can do, and that's what Coach Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley, the GM, are doing with Bam Adebayo, and I think it's going to pay off for them.
All right, Michael Yogi Stewart is going to be coming up in about 10 minutes, so be sure and listen to that. Yogi reminiscing back on, boy, I'll tell you, I still think he has the individual record for most block shots in a game.
Yogi in Sacramento?
Yep.
Was the number 10?
Yep.
Okay, well, you get to double digits, you're probably going to own that one pretty good.
I mean, he was incredible. You know what? He was a guy that truly worked for every little thing he got. And when he got the deal after he left Sacramento, he knows he wasn't worth it. But you know what? He got it. Good for him.
Yeah.
Just hard work paying off.
Yes, it was. We signed Yogi, and he came in. But, you know, absolutely great guy. That
the best.
Was what was his name? I can't think of the coach's name right now. But that was under him. And it was a blessing to know him, man. We used to have so many talks on the bus, him and Sean. It was great. I'm glad we're going to be able to sit down and talk with him.
You know,
a
he was
bit.
A ball boy for the Kings as a kid.
That's what he told me. Yep. I remember that. And can you imagine that type of lifelong dream, Grant, where you're a ball boy, you end up going to college, and then you come back and you play for that team? That's one of those mind-blowing things. You're around it, you don't really realize, and before you know it, dream realized, check it off, bucket list complete.
He was actually, I beg your pardon, he was signed, he had 9 blocks in a game in his rookie season.
You get close to 10, Napes. I mean, come on.
But he got a 6, again, he ended up getting a 6-year, $24 million contract by Toronto.
Yes, he did. I was there. I remember. Yogi Stewart. Butch Carter was the coach under that one. It signed Yogi.
Is that right?
Yes, it was. And that's actually.
I wouldn't have come up with that if you had put $1 million in front of me. Butch Carter?
Yes.
Honestly, I would have never come up with that.
Yes, yeah. That was, that's when they had just made the trades and different things with Damon Stoudemire, and that's where we got Walt Williams and some different players. Walt left with Damon as well, but they brought him in. Vince Carter was there as well.
Huh. All right, when we come back, Michael Yogi Stewart, that's next on Sports 1140 KHDK. Well, it's time now for a Kings throwback segment, and one of my favorite guys that I've ever had the pleasure of getting to know as the TV announcer for the Kings was when Michael Yogi Stewart came to the Kings undrafted in 97 and electrified the crowd his rookie year with that one night of 9 block shots, but he led the Kings in block shots that year, and it's always great when we can talk with Yogi. Yogi, it's Grant and Doug Christie. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing good. And I understand, first of all, that you were at the first night of the California Classic a week ago at the Golden 1 Center. Wasn't that an amazing atmosphere for a summer league game?
Unbelievable. I mean, I'm from Sacramento, so it's always amazing for me to come back home and see a big, beautiful arena in the middle of downtown Sacramento. I always joke that when I was growing up, all of downtown Sacramento wasn't worth what it cost to build that arena. the atmosphere, the fans, almost selling that building out, the support that they show for that franchise is unbelievable. Best fans in the NBA.
You know, Yogi, when you when we played together in Toronto, I was telling Grant he didn't know that. Your fondest memories of when you look at your career, where do you look at and you say, you know what, these were the fondest? It could have been a Sacramento, Toronto. How do you look at that?
Oh, I mean, I think hands down, the 1 year that I had in Sacramento. And, not just because, it was obviously my best season, but it was just getting a chance to play at home, playing in front of those fans. I mean, growing up, I played high school games in the old Arco Arena, and it really just – it meant something for me to play for that team. I grew up as a fan. It was my hometown team. It was not that much different from you playing in Seattle. It just meant something a little bit more to me. I went on, I think I played for 5 different teams. And, it was great. Each organization is unique in their own right, but being at home in Sacramento, playing in front of those fans, the best year of my life.
Well, and I know it was so unbelievably special. I remember all the conversations I had with your mom and dad in the family lounge your rookie year and the joy of having their son, play for their hometown Sacramento Kings and a crazy festive, an arena every night and you playing as well as you did. I mean, you know what? There's nothing that ever takes that away, Yogi. You're right. I mean, that is – it doesn't get more special than that. That's just – I don't know what else to say. It doesn't get more special than that.
Yeah, no, and especially, where I came from, coming through the summer league and the work that I put in with Albie and Connie and the rest of the staff with the Sacramento Kings, I mean, they really, without making any promises to me, they really made me feel like if I came in and I worked hard every day, that they would give me an opportunity. And I was just coming in and fighting for that opportunity every day. You know, me and Peja Stojakovic, who was overseas at the time, we spent, you know, 5-6 hours in that gym every single day. And I just took it step by step, you know, fighting for an opportunity to make the summer league team. And then from summer league, fighting for an opportunity to make the veterans camp. And then from there, you know, fighting to make the team. And then it just kind of, you know, kept rolling. And the more work that I put in, the more opportunities they gave me. And I got a good opportunity to take advantage of it and turn it into a career.
You know, I was telling Grant earlier that I remember where I was at. I was at Folsom Lake Ford. I was doing some business, Grant, and I ran into your father for the first time. Did he tell you that?
Oh, he did tell me that.
Man, I had never met him before, and I ran into him, and he said, "I'm Yogi's dad." I'm like, wow, man. So do you get the opportunity to come back to Sacramento that often, Yo?
Not that often, a couple times a year. And my dad actually just bought a new house out in Roseville. So when I came home this last time, he'd been pressuring me to come spend the night with him. So I actually came home and slept in my dad's living room. it's always good to come back home and see old family and friends. And I have to also say that Doug Christie, for the couple of years that we played together in Toronto, was one of my favorite teammates.
I appreciate
because,
that.
Because, Doug, of how hard you work, your approach to the game, obviously your skill level, your shooting ability, ball handling, your approach on the defensive end, I always, you know, sat back and watched you and admired the things that you did.
I appreciate that, man. Lots of fun. You know, to watch what has happened in Toronto has been spectacular, to be honest with you. You know, just being able to travel there and watch and go from the first year, and then they build an arena and now Eastern Conference champions and what have you. As you sit back and look at that, does it amaze you at the progress that Canada has made when it comes to basketball?
Yeah, it really is. I spent some time the other day watching the Carter Effect, the documentary about Vince Carter and the effect that he had on Canadian basketball. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as an organization, it's obviously great to see you know, where they've gone, but also the appreciation and the love for the game of basketball that developed in the city. And, you know, obviously Vince and T-Mac, but, you know, you too, Doug, you guys had a big effect on how they view the game and all the new guys that have come into the NBA as Canadian players. You know, they owe you guys a debt of gratitude.
Michael Yogi Stewart joining us here on Sports 1140 KHDK. The impact that the Sacramento Kings had on your life as a kid growing up there, you've talked a little bit about it, but do you remember your when the Kings moved to Sacramento in 1985, did you have some favorite players back then that you really looked after, or not looked after, but, you know, kind of idolized?
Oh, my goodness. Mike Woodson, Larry Drew, Terry Tyler.
His
son and I went to school together.
I love Terry.
Terry was awesome.
He's the best.
I mean, these are names that nobody would remember unless you were a Kings fan. Juwan Oldham.
Yes.
A great shot blocker. Always enjoyed watching him play. LaSalle Thompson, Eddie Johnson, and these are some guys that I've gotten to see over the years and actually become friends with. I played with Otis Thorpe my first year in Sacramento, which was unbelievable. I mean, all those guys. I mean, I grew up a fan, you know, from the first day they moved into the city.
Wow.
All of those guys, I loved all of them.
How about the announcers? Did you love them too?
Yeah. Come on, Greg. I gave Doug some love earlier, but I also want to thank you too, Grant, for, you know, you were just always great throughout my not even just my time in Sacramento, but throughout my years in the league. I appreciate everything that you do as well.
Well, you're a special person, and you know what? Good things happen to good people, and I just am so happy to reflect back on that experience that you had. And I did not know this until today. I didn't realize that Doug was in Toronto with you there.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So you learn something every day. But you know what? I wonder, when you look back at that experience now and now watch the way the game is played. Let's fast forward from when you played to now. The game is so different. What do you think about the way the NBA game is played now?
you know, it was funny is Anthony Johnson, who was a teammate of mine in Sacramento, was here in Orlando the other day. His son was playing in the tournament, so we spent a couple days together, and we were talking about the same thing. First of all, the skill level of the big guys is so much different than when I played. I told him that I don't think I would have been able to make an NBA roster with the set of skills that I had. You know, I was a shot blocker, rebounder, but now big guys are expected to, you know, shoot threes and put the ball on the floor. You know, and obviously, you know, kids grow up working on that stuff now, but, you know, before they had three or four guys, big guys on a roster who, you know, because they were big and they could rebound or block shots or whatever. Now, as the game has progressed, you know, you need to be able to switch on every ball screen. You need to be able to stretch defenses and space the floor. And it's just a completely different game. It's beautiful to watch. I think it's better in its own way. You know, I mean, I obviously love, you know, the banging and all the, you know, the things that the Patrick Ewings and Alonzo Mournings and those guys used to do. But now it's a more beautiful game. Every player on the floor has a certain amount of skill, and it's fun to watch.
Take me back to the game where you had 9 block shots, because I remember it because I was announcing a game on TV, and I think I said 3 or 4 times towards it, block by Stewart. Like, I mean, like, you know what I mean? Yogi, I mean, gosh, I mean, think about that accomplishment, Doug. 9 block shots in a game. Can you remember that? I mean, I know you remember, but the craziness in the crowd and what that was like, man, that just had to – I mean, that never leaves you, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I think my career high in college was 7 blocks.
Okay.
And it's just funny how that year, it just seemed like every game I got a little more comfortable – and I felt like the staff had a little bit more confidence in me, and it allowed me to go out and just play without worrying about whether I made a mistake or, you know, being pulled off the floor for whatever reason. So, you know, I mean, that game right there is just one where everything kind of came together. You know, you block a couple early and get more confidence, and, you know, the guys kept coming to the basket, and, you know, it was a great day. I mean, I think back to that a lot. Actually, I think that's still a record.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Tied for a record.
Yes,
so
it is.
It's funny on the NBA 2K basketball games. My kids pull that up sometimes, and they show me that I still have a record. So that's
I love it.
About it. You know, hopefully, nobody beats it.
How awesome is that?
You know, you mentioned your kids and being with Anthony Johnson. Are your kids playing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old, so a rising sophomore and a rising eighth grader.
Okay.
And, Doug, I got them in the gym every day, you know, working on the things that I just talked about. So I have a shooting machine in the backyard. You know, we get our reps in every day. And if they grow up and want to play basketball, that would be, you know, obviously for any old basketball player, it's a joy to watch your kids play and just get to sit back and hope that they have the same love for the game that you have.
Absolutely.
I love hearing the name Anthony Johnson because that brings back more memories. He's a guy that got he got every drop out of that sponge for his career.
I
right? You know what I mean, Yogi? I love Anthony. Right? I mean – just how happy when I look back at careers like you, Yogi, and Anthony Johnson. Anthony was the nicest guy in the world, wasn't he? Just he's awesome, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, AJ was similar to me. I mean, he was a second-round pick from College of Charleston. Nobody expected anything out of him, but he was a big, big guard. He competed. He played hard. He was consistent. You know, every team that he went to, he was going to bring the same effort. I mean, this is a guy who ended up with a 42-point game in Indiana, played in 2 final series. So, I mean, I think you described it best. Every ounce of ability that he had, he used it and was able to play 15 years in the NBA. It was pretty special.
Yogi, it's just so phenomenal to catch up with you, man. I can't thank you enough for the experience of not just you, but getting to know your family.
Yes.
And reliving some of those memories from – the what was it, 97 and man, I'm so happy for you. We'll do it again. Hopefully, we won't wait as long to have you on again. But it's great for you to share some time with us.
Give love to the family, man.
I will do, guys. Anytime you need me on, just give me a call. I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
sir.
I just love that guy.
No, he's awesome. What a class act. Yeah. Always was. Ever since I met him in Toronto. I mean, just one of your best teammates, but a great person at the same time.
The best.
And when you combine that, you can't ask for more, man.
All right. When we come back, we'll have one last segment on Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, final segment for Doug and I, 339-1140, 800-920-1140, and we get to Jay. Hello, Jay.
Hey, guys. You guys are awesome. I just wanted to let you know.
Thank you.
I have one question. You guys being close to the Kings, is there any truth to this Marcus Smart
rumor? No, zero truth.
I can't.
Zero. Zero.
Zero. Oh. The reason I ask that is because even if they were interested and failed to get him, the fact that they're interested in getting defensive players is a positive sign.
They're not interested in Marcus Smart. They're looking at some other situations. But as of today,
There's
been zero contact in regards to Marcus Smart.
Okay. That's great. I appreciate that because it's hard to tell when you look at the Internet. Hey,
yes,
you know what? I wanted to mention, too, you've been great for years, Grant, on the air. And Doug's only been on a few years. Doug, you've been absolutely amazing on the air, man. I think you have a knack for it. But it's not really where I would love to see you, and I think a lot of other fans would love to see Doug, because think of the impact he would have if he was a defensive coach to teach these young kids how to play defense in the NBA, and what kind of impact that would have on the Kings.
Well, it's not happening because I'm not letting them go.
You're awesome, Dave.
That.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? Whenever I have opportunity, I always talk, and I'm here, man, when it comes to that. I'm a lifer. I love the game, and more than anything, I want to see the Sacramento Kings win.
Yeah, that's great, man. Keeping their ear, the way you articulate and describe things to these young guys, that's what we need, man. If we can get that defense shored up and have that foundation, we can build on that. Thanks for taking the call, fellas.
All right, thank you. Have a good rest of the day. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. A couple minutes left here at the Summer League for us. We'll be at Lake Tahoe tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from the driving range at beautiful Lake Tahoe. Cannot wait for that. That is going to be fun. And we will be trying to bring you wall-to-wall interviews. And
I can't wait, Napes.
I'm just saying.
You know what? It doesn't get any better than going from Vegas to Tahoe, for God's sakes. I mean,
nope.
Tough life we got here, buddy.
Going to enjoy the weather change and want to let everyone know, as a reminder, that our coverage of Summer League is being brought to you by Jiffy Lube with over 25 locations in the greater Sacramento area, offering AC service, oil changes, tune-ups, brakes, and much more. Jiffy Lube, they got you covered. All right, so give me one or two things you're looking for today. I'll give you mine first. I want to see another. I'm about consistency with Justin Jackson, so I don't want to see him, you know, go back to 4 points and whatever, right? So I want to see him continue. And then the Harry Giles matchup against Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ivan Rabb, and that's item number two for me.
Yeah, you know what? You brought up Justin Jackson. I'm going to echo that one. I agree with you, Grant. I think the consistency is big for him. Let's end this thing out. Let's keep it going with showing that you are the type of guy that, especially at this level, you can come in and make shots. More than anything, I want to see Frank Mason begin to start to have the games that we know that he can have. Defensively, running the team, showing the aggressiveness that we really fell in love with. And it's in there. Now you got to start to do it. Run the team, get a lead, keep the lead. All the little things that a point guard needs to do, that's what I'm looking for out of Frank Mason.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, Frank, we need Frank. When I say we, you know, the organization needs Frank to show something here before the end of summer. He's been very disappointing.
Yes, and because you got to think about it. If you're going to go into camp and you're only going to have De'Aaron Fox, and you're going to have Frank Mason backing him up, then you're really depending on Bogdan Bogdanovic to play point guard if Frank is having an off night or if he's not playing good or things aren't going the way you need him to go. And you know that he can do it. You know he has the body and the strength and all the different things. Now it's the ability to show that you can run a team at this level. And once he shows that, I think the Kings have the utmost confidence in him. Now he has to show the confidence in himself to get it done on a night-to-night basis.
Yep, absolutely. And I think he's running out of time in terms of, you know, preventing the Kings from going out and getting a backup type of a point guard. In other words, I think he's got to have a big transformation here in these final couple of games.
You know, part of that is the process that happens, meaning that the same with Justin Jackson. I said the other day, this is an incredible opportunity for Justin Jackson. Kings are deficient right now at the small forward position. You've been drafted at that position. He continues to improve. Maybe you found your guy. The same thing with Frank Mason. Frank Mason, this is an incredible opportunity because De'Aaron needs that backup. The Kings need that second unit to come in and change the game and change the flow of the game. This is an opportunity for you. Please seize it, my young friend.
All right, so the schedule, Doug and I are leaving in a couple of hours. We'll be at Edgewood tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. That is going to be some fun stuff. All the top-line sports celebrities, for the most part, will be participating, and we will try to bring you as many interviews as we can with what is one of the most enjoyable fun events of the year. Cannot wait.
Man, I can. The whole thing that they put on up there, it seems to grow every single year. Is it Moeller? That's who you're going with this year?
Who?
Is it Moeller?
Mark Mulder.
Mulder.
No, I'm
that's
not.
It.
He's won three in a row.
I'm not going.
I'm going to take a dog. I don't go with
really?
Favorites.
You're taking a dog, huh?
Yeah, I'm taking Charles Barkley.
No. Well, listen. You put 50 cents on it, I put 50 cents on it, and we will win about $6,000, I think it is, because I think he's the biggest odds you can get is 1 to 6,000. I think that's where he's at.
I'm hoping that the rest of the field somehow, some way gets disqualified, and he's the only one standing.
Oh, boy, I don't even know what to say about that, Dave. So, I'm not going to go that deep of a dog, but I'll go with you somewhere.
All right, so that's going to do it again tomorrow, 3 o'clock. We cannot wait, Doug.
You got it, man. Right. I will see you there, buddy.
All right, Lowdown is coming up next as we adjourn for the day. Have a great one, everybody, and thanks for listening to Sports 1140 KHD.